sometimes. All I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of June. Heat waves been faking me out. Can't make you happier now. Sometimes all I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of
June. AM 640. Bill Handel here. It is a Wednesday morning, October 13th. And there's a chunk going on, chunk of news. First of all, Blue Origin, the spaceship that Jeff Bezos has, went up in the air. 12 minutes with William Shatner, went up, it went down. Worked out successfully. And so that's big news. But bigger news, the Dodgers beat the Giants 7-2 last night. So game five now happens tomorrow to see who wins that series. And there is now an agreement in the Port of Los Angeles with the feds. L.A. Port is going to become a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week operation. Hopefully that will help. I'm surprised that it hasn't gone that way before. Long Beach is already at 24-7. How hot is hot? There's an issue here amongst workers that work in those warehouses. Those huge fulfillment centers, giant warehouses that are all over Southern California. Rite Aid built in 1999 a giant warehouse, and it chose a stretch along the Mojave Desert. Why? Land was cheap. Freeway was nearby. However, Mojave Desert, hot summer. And what happens during the summer, the workers are boiling inside these warehouses. Because one of the things they don't have, except for Amazon, what they don't have is air conditioning. You have a 100,000 square foot warehouse, and the inside, I mean, it's 30 feet high because they have to stack the pallets. The cost of air conditioning that space is astronomical. So you have workers that are, they're boiling inside. Leg muscles cramp, hearts race. And this has just come up because lawsuits have been filed. And so they're pulling at products. The pace is what the company sets. And, Rite Aid workers, and we're just talking about this summer, three employees fell ill from this particular warehouse. Heat exhaustion, because it was, remember this, in June, the heat wave that hit Southern California. Two of the workers became so dehydrated they need an IV bag of saline just to replenish the fluids. And the workers say supervisors responded, installing more fans in the warehouse. And what that does is simply move hot air through the warehouse. Usually fans do a decent job of cooling down any given space, not when it's that hot. And this particular warehouse is almost a million square feet. Walt Disney Concert Hall, right? All of them, that big complex, put three of them in this warehouse and you still have room. And this is going on all over California. Why? Because more and more fulfillment centers have to be built because of internet shopping, because of simply the way we're going, the way we buy products. And they're not going to build a million square foot warehouse here in the Valley or on the West Side. That's not going to happen. So where are they going to build it? Outlying areas. Land is cheap. And outlying areas, particularly the Inland Empire, that gets hot. Same thing, they have them in Arizona, they have them in Nevada at these very cheap land price locations. And now we have the White House getting involved. They've taken up the issue, and states are getting involved, now passing regulations limiting indoor temperatures, which right now there aren't any. There are no restrictions. Other than maybe an OSHA restrictions dealing with an unsafe work environment. Now, the Rite Aid workers said they've made progress. In 2011, there was years of negotiations, and the warehouse's 500 employees approved a union contract. This was how long was this contract? Oh, this warehouse has been around since 2011. And they approved a union contract with new rules to prevent heat illness. But, you know, here we go a decade later. All of those programs don't come near doing a good job in the face of record heat. And so let's go to 2016. where Cal OSHA did set some limits on indoor heat. Those are under review because they're just not cutting it. That's the problem. Now, I love this. This is corporation. This is Rite Aid. The spokesperson, Bradley Ducey, says, and this is an interview he did and a statement he came out with, the company has been working with employees and their union to address increased temperatures. We've installed more fans. We've opened doors in the evening to let in cooler air. Right. So it's 120 degrees during the day and it's 112 degrees at night. That helps a lot. They're allowing workers to take rest breaks and access cooling spots. That's in quote. And Rite Aid shifts its employees' work hours during the hot summer months to cooler parts of the day, which again is, I guess, 112 versus 120 is cooler. And then, of course, you've got the corporate speak, inevitably. And they can. This comes right out of a template that every corporation uses. We constantly review and evolve our policies and seek feedback on indoor temperature management in partnership with Cal OSHA and union representatives. So I have a personal story that I want to share with you. And that is my partner and I, you know, I have a business, most of them, all the businesses I've started, fantastic failures for the most part. And we have this cookware import business, and I talk about it all the time. Well, we have a warehouse where we store this stuff in our offices, and they're in Las Vegas. The offices and the warehouse, same place in Las Vegas. And it's not huge, 42,000 square feet relative to a warehouse. I mean, that's relatively small. And do you know what how hot it is in the summer in Las Vegas? 120 degrees. And the warehouse is not air conditioned. Now, we do have swamp coolers there, so I guess you call it air conditioning, and giant fans. And we have the same problem. But here's the difference. When our workers complain about the excess heat, we turn on the heaters. Stop complaining. You're lucky you have a job. Now, we don't keep workers very long, grant you, but it becomes a real problem. And all kidding aside, I mean, that's something that you do have to work with. And the vast majority of warehouses don't have air conditioning, not even these swamp coolers, which in hot, dry areas are a perfect way to cool down the building. But in terms of air conditioning, HVAC, refrigerator air conditioning, that's the office space. And people just don't do warehouses. It's just too expensive, except for Amazon. They actually air condition their warehouses. And I think it's the only company out there that does. Which goes to show you, if they're willing to pay that much money to air condition $1 million space or million square feet space, the money they are making is beyond comprehension. All right, another aspect of the pandemic, I want to go into some of the financial aspects. There is a whole concept that's exploded that never existed before. Well, to a little tiny degree, but now it's become part and parcel of our everyday life. And I'll share that with you when we come back. And then at 9:30, Handle in the House Whisper, Dean Sharp. And it's going to be the magic of dirt. Pigpen is going to join us. This is KFI AM 640. And let's check in with Chris Little. KFI AM 640 Handle here on a Wednesday, October 13th. Dodgers, they win last night. Game 5 is tomorrow, and we'll see who moves ahead. And the National League division is at stake, and hopefully the Dodgers win. And I say that because I have to say that. It's a memo that came out from management. Get excited about the Dodgers. The new gig economy. And I've been talking, we've all been dealing with simply the way we shop, the way we do business, which has changed so dramatically with the COVID pandemic. And when it's over, And the COVID pandemic will be over, and it's going to become a chronic issue. Every year it'll come back and you get shots, et cetera. But one of the new modes, right, one of the new paradigms, if you will, is personal shoppers, right? Grocery shoppers. You've got Instacart, Shipt, it's S-H-I-P-T, and I want to talk about that company because it's fascinating. It's owned by Target. And it used to be when someone had a personal shopper, you were incredibly wealthy, usually a media figure. Oh, yeah, I have a shopper. Well, today, everybody can have access to a shopper, delivery service owned by Target. And here's why it's growing so quickly. First of all, we like having someone deliver, which is why food deliveries, which is why restaurants are going crazy. That's where the growth is. And this company, Shipt, founded in 2014 and was created and really grew during the pandemic. It has shippers, 300,000 of them now. And since August, here's one of the differences that Shipt is different than other shopping services. And that is you can request the same shopper, which means the shopper gets to know what you want, what you don't want. And the shopper can even suggest, well, if you don't want that or they have a new flavor, what do you think? And that is something that the customers love. And to give you an idea of the money we're talking here, Target bought the company 3 years ago, 4 years ago, for $550 million, which is like a chunk of money. 2017, they pay $550 million. The estimate of the value of this company today is $15 billion. Tell me that's not a good deal. Now, it doesn't disclose its revenue or customer numbers, and it's not profitable yet, much like Amazon wasn't profitable its first few years. But sales continue to rise, and this thing is going to be a monster. Well, it already is, but in terms of a profitable monster. And here's what the company looks for. Delivery people who know how to shop, have strong communication skills, an eye for detail, which other shopping services don't have. And here's where they get the money. Cut of the sales, and it's different from company to company. Advertisements, delivery fees, annual subscription. And that is the difference. That's why this model works so well. I mean, it's a genius thing, that's for sure. And it's going to grow. It's that simple. The gig economy is simply going to attract more people. And the other thing that really makes employees Shipt, the employees for Shipt, Shipt shoppers, is you can determine your own hours. And that is something that employees now almost demand. I can't determine my hours, and I certainly can't determine where I work. But for those people, daycare issues, a husband and wife working, and you want to stagger the times, it's perfect. It's just perfect for those people. And so it's just another area of super growth in this gig economy, which, again, our heads are spinning in terms of what changes there are in such a short period of time. I mean, when you think of, we're already going in that direction anyways, but what the pandemic did is just turbo everything to where it's just a whole new world. At that point, we have to break out in music. It's a whole new world, and we didn't do that. Would have been good. Coming up, it's the House Whisperer, handling the House Whisperer, the magic of dirt. There's another animated show I think I'd like to do. This is KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Chris Little.
Oh, home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you. Oh, home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you.
Ooh. And we're back. Bill Handel and the Morning Crew on a Wednesday, October 13th. Big news with the Dodgers. They win last night 7-2. A fifth game of the series comes up tomorrow. And William Shatner has gone where plenty of men and women have gone before. He's in space, or was for 4 minutes, and now they're back, and everybody is happy, I guess.
No old man has ever gone there, though.
Oh, yeah, 90 years old, and he looks spectacular. I mean, he's had a couple of meals too many, clearly, but he, for 90, he looks great. With Dean Sharp, who is here, because every Wednesday, of course, at 9:30, we have a Handle in the House Whisper segment. We are streaming this on Instagram live right now, and I'm waving. I wish I had my sandwich.
Speaking of looking great.
Yeah, there you go. And there's Dean also waving to the crowd. All right, Dean, what we're going to talk about today is the magic of dirt.
Yes, sir.
Landscaping. And then I have a couple questions. Hardscaping, which I've heard. I've never heard of softscaping. When you're married, I've heard of escaping. There you go.
All right.
Had to do that one.
Right.
So let's talk about the importance, and you always come up with spins that none of the rest of us think about.
Okay. So this is one of my little pet design issues when it comes to designing a landscape, and that is that the single most powerful secret to recreating your landscape has nothing to do with plants, has nothing to do with trees, flowers. Has nothing to do with redoing your irrigation system or hardscape. Hardscape meaning pathways, drive, right. Anything that's made out of stone or concrete that's hard that you're walking on. It's changing the contour of the dirt. People just jump right over that. They just take for granted the fact that, well, this is the lot we were given. This is the piece of property that we're
on. And it's flat.
It's, you know, it's, well, whatever shape it is. It's flat, it's a little hilly, whatever it may be. Most folks who live in a tract home in Southern California are sitting on a relatively flat lot.
Right, right? That's what I'm thinking.
And the reason is because that was the easiest, least expensive way for the builders who developed the entire development to grade the property. Flat, boom, boom, do with it what you want. The thing is, nobody ever, hardly ever does anything with it. They just accept the flat lot that they're on. Dynamic landscapes. When you think about the effort put into really, truly dynamic landscapes, it's not just about the plant material, it's the contours of the land. So this weekend, I'm going to be encouraging people to think beyond all of that. So let's get back to basics. I like to put it this way. Thinking about redoing your landscape without thinking about changing the contours of the dirt itself is, in my opinion, the equivalent of thinking about remodeling your home and just excluding automatically the idea of moving any walls.
Yeah. Now, you know, a practical question, because I throw these to you all the time and I say, how much is it going to cost? And it ranges all the way from virtually nothing or very inexpensive when you come up with a topic to, oh, yeah, this is going to cost a bucket of money, right. You know, moving walls,
sure,
doing,
sure.
You know, moving bearing walls,
it's
that
true.
Sort of thing. No,
it's
and I
true.
Understand. You're very good about that because you say, here's what you can do. Here's what's going to cost. This is practical. This is not. So I'm thinking in terms of changing the contours. Obviously, you tear up your landscape or the plants or part of that yard and you move the dirt around, which is not that expensive to do. And do you just put the plants back? Do you buy new planting? Do you reconfigure in terms of the greenery?
Well, yeah, that's one thing. You can. You really can. You don't have to just say goodbye to plants that you don't want to get rid of. Now, these days, it's an amazing thing. These days, you can go down to the equipment rental yard at your local Home Depot or a tool rental place near you. You know what you can do? You can rent a sod cutter. If you've got a big, gorgeous lawn, you're listening. I'm listening to you, Dean. I want to contour my lawn, but I've got new, beautiful grass. You can sod cut that lawn just like sod companies do when
right.
they're growing grass out in the field. You can sod cut it, lay the sod strips aside, keep them moist, keep them fertilized, change the contours, lay them back down.
Yeah.
Plants that you absolutely love can be carefully removed and potted and set aside. Feature trees, no. No, we're going to keep feature trees. Most people are going to keep feature trees.
Yeah, that's expensive to
only
move
my
those
high-end
around.
Estate clients tell me, hey, can we move this 60-foot right. tree 10 feet over?
And you can.
What? Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's true. Also, you can go to the rental yard and pick up a 3-ton tractor and move the dirt yourself, being rather careful not to take it into the house and destroying the house. What do you think?
Absolutely, you actually can. There are very small tractors that
yeah,
are available to rent.
Bobcats.
Bobcat-type tractors to move dirt around the yard. The question of whether you need more dirt or not than what you've got, well, that's an issue of the design. Sometimes we find that we've got enough dirt on our property. It's just a matter of cut here and fill there. So we dig a little deeper over here, and we take some of that excess dirt, and we pile it to create a contour. Other times, people just need more dirt in order to accomplish the ideas that they're doing. If you take your time, you can still find that dirt relatively inexpensively.
I have brought dirt in. When I built the Persian Palace, we had to bring in dirt because we had to level. It was the lot was not level. Dirt is not that expensive in terms of per cubic yard of dirt, and it's sold per cubic yard.
It is not that expensive, and there are a lot of ways. Now, nowadays, there are a lot of resources. There are places you can go, like on the online, earthmovementapp.com. Filldirt.org. These are all Southern California, LA-based places.
Dirts are us.
Soildirect.com. And you know what these are? These are clearinghouses for grading contractors, anybody who's working on like major commercial projects, like this this parking lot structure right next to the building here. They excavated God only knows how many cubic yards of dirt. Now, what are they going to do with that dirt? They, if they can't find a place to give it away to, they actually have to haul it to a landfill and pay to deposit it at a landfill. So one of the clues about adding dirt to your lawn, instead of going right to a dirt purchasing scenario, drive around the neighborhood, drive around town, see if there's any major commercial work being done, see if there's any pools being excavated anywhere near your neighborhood, because if there's new pools going in, those pool contractors, I guarantee you, they would rather bring a few yards of dirt to your front yard and dump it there than take it all the way to the city landfill and have to pay for it.
Now, it makes a lot of sense, because when I think of moving dirt around and buying dirt, I don't think of it as in any small project. I always think of it in terms of large projects. Matter of fact, when I built the house, we brought in dirt. I mean, it was a fair amount of dirt. And that was probably the least amount of dirt you could do. In reality, you can pick up 3, 4, 8 cubic yards of dirt, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pretty easily. Pretty easily. If you know where to look and you're patient, you can get the dirt.
And then we come back. I want to talk about what do you do with it?
Exactly.
You know, do you do a pyramid?
Maybe. No, no, you don't.
No, you don't. No, okay. We'll talk about that. And
I want to talk to you about Central Park.
Oh, yes, exactly. What is it? Olmsted was his name?
Frederick K. Olmsted.
There you go.
The father of American landscape architecture.
Yeah, and that was it in the 1800s.
Yep.
Late 1800s. Hey, Jeopardy.
There you go.
What am I telling you?
Ding, 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 ding.
We'll be right back with Dean and the House Whisperer and Handel today. Well, let's take a break. Chris Little.
Just hold on. Just hold on, we're going home. It's hard to do.
Hey, we're back. It's Bill Handel and the Morning Crew. Actually, it's Bill Handel and the House Whisperer, Dean Sharp. Dean, who's heard Saturdays 6 to 8 a.m., Handel on the Law follows that, much better show, and Sundays 9 a.m. to 11. And Dean...
Did you just say Handel on the Law follows that, much better show?
No.
I thought that's what you said.
No. You got it wrong. Mm. And a quick word, Tina, your lovely Tina, it's her birthday today.
Yes, it is.
Happy birthday, Tina.
She is my world.
Yeah, she's a lovely, lovely lady. And Tina, if you happen to be listening, he shared with me your age. You look older.
You are an ass.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment, by the way. I just want to let you know. All right, let's come back. And you wanted to tell, we're talking about landscaping, hardscaping, et cetera.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you wanted to bring up Central Park, because that is a great story that people can connect with also.
Yes. Now, before the break, you actually got right the name of the
creator, the designer.
The individual who designed Central Park. Yeah, actually won a contest. The city of New York ran a contest. 37 entries, I think. His was 37th. And no previous landscaping experience. Won the contract. Him and an actually established landscaper. But Frederick K. Olmsted, the genius of this man, who has gone on to become the father of all American landscape architecture. The genius that I want everybody to understand about the story, I'm not just telling stories for the sake of it, is that if you've ever been to Central Park, seen pictures of Central Park, seen a movie about anything like that, you walk through this park and you're like, oh, it's such a nice reprieve. It's just this little bit of nature, right, left over in Manhattan. It's not true. Central Park, previous to its development, was just a flat, terrible,
swampy,
trashy area. Frederick A. Olmsted's conception of what true landscape should be, especially as it abuts to an urban environment, is that he wasn't just going to go in and, you know, grade it out, smooth it out, and plant lovely flower beds and plant trees. No, what he did, he brought in massive amounts of soil, massive amounts of rocks, and created, his theory was, create nature first, create a nature story that everybody believes, and then cut into it your park-like structures for your habitation.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to for people to understand about their yard. Don't just take the lot that you've got and plant some flowers on it. Create a nature story first and then cut through it.
And that's exactly the opposite of what people do.
Yes.
Because what they first do is they put a pathway, they decide what the concrete is going to be, walls, and then they plant sort of an afterthought, where they first come in and go, let's put in our walkways, et cetera. And you're saying it's the other way.
It's the other way around. I'll tell you, here's a small project. I'll give you an example of that we did just a handful of years ago that has just gleaned all sorts of attention to it. What we did is it was a very flat lot, very small lot, not a whole lot we could do. One of the rules is you don't want to just build a mountain on your property if your neighbors have flat lots, because it doesn't contextually look right, right? But we contoured up. I buried some very large buried them, not sat them on top of the land, but buried some very large boulders right up front, right where the pathway to the sidewalk should be. We buried these boulders there. Then we half uncovered them. And it forced us then, quote unquote, to make this pathway from the sidewalk circuitous around the boulders over, and it swirled into the front yard. Everyone who has come to see that property since asked the question, wow, how'd you guys get so lucky that you got these amazing rocks in your part of the development? And there goes the story, right? If somebody believes that the nature was there first and that we had to cut around it and implant the house, nestle the house into it, then we're winning. We're winning the story. Most people don't believe that, though. Most people just accept the fact that it's just, right. Oh, that's a lovely planter.
Now, do you need, in order to do it right, I'm thinking the first thing that comes to mind is a landscape architect in order to really lay it out.
An architect or a designer, yeah. You just got to have somebody with that vision.
Yeah, this is not something that's in the wheelhouse of your average homeowner.
Yeah, usually not. Usually not. It's something to really get, you know, but I say that about everything. Design matters most.
Yeah.
I say it about the inside of your house. I say it about the outside. Solicit the assistance of some creatives, some professionals who think in these terms. And take the constraints of your property. Don't ignore them. Take them and use them as a catalyst to get more creative.
And the thing about landscape architects is that they are not hideously expensive to lay out.
No, they aren't.
A couple thousand dollars, $1,500.
And you can change the entire story of the front of your property and the back, both.
That's a neat way of doing it. That's something I love when you come up with stuff like that. I really do.
Well, thanks, Bill.
No, it's true. Okay, real quickly.
Yes.
And we have one more, and that's the difference between garden walls and retaining walls, and a lot of people don't understand the difference.
Yeah, just a real quickie, because some retaining walls might be the dramatic key to when I say make a mound and then cut a pathway through it. Everybody just needs to know that retaining walls, that's not a generic name for a wall. A retaining wall is a wall that is actually holding back soil on one side and not the other.
And those have to be engineered, right?
After 3 feet in height.
Okay.
Before 3 feet, you can actually go and use those interlocking paver stones that you can get at Home Depot or the building supply yard. But once you've got more than 36 inches vertical retaining, then you got to get it engineered. A garden wall is just a wall. It can be made out of anything. It can be made out of block, stone, whatever. But the soil on both sides is essentially the same level, and it's not holding anything back.
Got it. All right. God, we could do so much on this, and the time just goes way too quickly. See, it really doesn't, but I wanted to make you feel good.
Mm.
At Home with Dean is his social, his handle, as opposed to my handle. Saturday morning, 6 to 8 o'clock, just prior to Handle on the Law, and then Sundays, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and I know you have something big coming up in the next couple of weeks, which you'll talk about on Saturday.
Yes.
Your broadcast, and happy birthday, Tina.
All right. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks,
Dean,
Bill.
Thank you. We do it again tomorrow. Handle in the Morning Crew, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.